If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
I'm not sure. Yeah, you know, it is an interesting thought, and I had not thought about that till you just brought it up.
Yeah.
Why would you, you know, if he's not around, if you've broken up with him, mm-hmm. he would have no reason to be upset with Dan anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. So
why would he be the one to kill Dan?
Yeah.
Unless they paint him as vindictive and holding grudges that, you know, people get fired from jobs and, you know, 8 years later, they come back and shoot the workplace up. It's like,
sure.
What happened to you that 8 years later you go and do this?
Mental note, Tony, Stacey can never be fired. I'm just
good thing we all work in different cities.
Yeah, but I'm really close. I'm not that far.
That's
a couple
true.
Hours away and.
Yeah, look
true.
Out, Todd. Yeah, well, I'm loose cannon.
If I find out something, I'll give you a heads up. She's loose. She's on her way. They found dead cats. And when that happens, it's the end. Yeah, so.
Oh,
yeah.
No, people before cats would go. I would spare the cats. We know this.
The cats,
you guys know
good.
This about me. Come on.
That's true. That's true. It's just a weird thing to think of. And I'm sure if you're Jeff, this stuff is still simmering through your mind because there is no answer to any of it. None of it makes any logical sense. None of it ever will make any logical sense. And the people, Wendy, Donna, all of them who basically, you know, doled out this narcissistic way of handling a relationship, a manipulative way of handling a relationship, to them, it's, you know, well, this is how it is. I'll do what I'm going to do. That doesn't, the ability to give a shit about someone else's feelings, to empathize, is just vacant.
Yep.
Clearly in Donna, clearly in Charlie. I would obviously, I should say, you know, Wendy obviously maintains her innocence. But I would say from what the observations we have made on Wendy, there ain't a lot of empathy there either. It's very, very low.
We also got a cool note yesterday from somebody, a message, and it was, and the kids, and the message was, and the kids are still with Wendy.
Yeah.
You know, I know she hasn't been charged. There's none of that, but how old are the kids? Are in their teens now, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that where they're at?
Yeah.
And they're still living with Wendy.
Well, Wendy's never been charged with anything, so why would they be anywhere else?
I know.
I completely, and that's the for all those years, that's the disturbing part of it, still with Wendy, and look how they were so isolated then from Dan's parents,
right.
And Dan's
yeah.
family. That was a choice. That wasn't murder that took that away. That was narcissistic Wendy. That was a very narcissistic, self-centered move on the part of Wendy to not allow that family to have access to their grandchildren. And I'm guessing Donna had a lot to do with it, too. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing the whole pressure of the family and just the enmeshment of this is the right thing to do. We don't want to do. It's insane. It's another example, I would say, of Wendy not being a grown-up, not being capable of being a grown-up when it
yeah.
comes to the emotional health of anyone. Clearly, she ain't good at herself. If you're not good at managing that for yourself, you're not going to be good at managing it or helping it for anyone else, including growing human beings in your custody. So I feel horrible for those kids. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't know what the best answer is. I don't know where those kids would have gone, probably to the Markells, I think would have been a better option.
Right.
Maybe an aunt or an uncle, or maybe even grandma and grandpa over there to be raised. But no, they ended up over there. But that's how our system is so screwed up. Your whole family can be a group of murderers. But if the mom or the dad isn't the murderer, but everyone else is plotting, guess what? The kids get to stay with the murderer's family.
Well, but it is what they know. They know it is. So they've already lost dad and, you know, uncle. So maybe a little stability, even as crazy as it sounds, is what they were shooting for. No pun intended. I'm sorry.
That's what the system shoots for without any sort of recognition or understanding of mental health. Our system takes zero consideration of mental health into consideration with any of this shit. It's more so, are they a direct danger to your physical well-being?
Right, right.
Nothing. Are they direct danger to your mental health? We don't care about that.
Yeah. Well, even physical well-being. I mean, it's possible that she was involved with a murder, for Christ's sakes. And also, can you imagine being a child and knowing this about other people in the family and what's been said in court about your mom and going to bed every night knowing that person's in a room just down the hall from you?
Yeah. So I was saying yesterday, it's like the system takes none of that into account at all. Right. And clearly Wendy didn't either. But then it goes back to, look, if Wendy had nothing to do with this, because we don't know, and I'm not saying she did, we just don't know. If she had nothing to do with this, then, you know, they're in the right place. Are they with someone, in my opinion, who's equipped to be a healthy mother to those children? Absolutely not. But that's a lot of kids. there's plenty of children who are in far more physically dangerous situations than that. I don't feel like those kids really are in any danger with Wendy other than mental health issues and not being able to process things in a healthy way to get a grip on who they are, where they're from. That's going to be a lifelong battle for them. Unfortunately, that's where it sits. And the really sad and scary part about this is if Wendy does get charged, if she's taken away.
Yeah.
There's their little lifeline. There's their little bit of stability. And I'm sure she loves her children in her own way of what she defines as love. Because I don't think it's the definition a lot of us have. And those kids, who knows? I mean, they're being brought up in this. They may think the Markells are horrible. I'd have no idea. All complete speculation. But at the end of the day, unless those kids are able to kind of get a nice healthy dose of reality, and maybe they will when they turn 18, they get out, they're like, all right. The odds of them being destined to repeat the cycle, not of murder, but of this personality type, very high. Regardless, it's going to be very high. So I truly hope, and I always say in situations like this, when you have just such toxic surroundings, that I truly hope that they're able to find some sort of direction, some sort of peace, some sort of identity outside of all of this.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it's just going to keep plaguing him. Anyway, all complete conjecture. Wendy's never been charged with anything. She maintains her innocence. So we're just discussing, and we'll see where this all goes. Let's go to that. Some of those clips. Let's watch the last part of this. This is Jeff Lacoste in the trial of Charlie Adelson, giving his account of everything he witnessed in his relationship with Wendy. Let's continue.
Mr. Lacoste, when we broke, we were discussing a statement made by Wendy Adelson on July 13th, 2014 at her residence here in Tallahassee. Do you recall which statement?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. And what was that statement?
After asking to speak to me confidentially, she told me that last summer that Charles Adelson had looked into all possible options to take care of the Danny Markell problem, including hiring a hitman, and they would cost about $15,000. I revised that amount. I said, potentially that could have been $50,000. I'm unsure of the amount. The rest of the statement, Greg Haltage, true.
So you weren't sure whether she said 15 or 50.
Right.
But she didn't say 15 or 50. She said one of these.
She's, She said one number that I thought was 15 when I directed TPD, and I thought that could have been 50.
Okay, I'm with you. And this statement was made in what context? What was her demeanor?
Well, she has to speak to me confidentially. She was dead serious about it. It was a chilling statement. I had a reaction to it. My stomach flipped. Well, scary and weird. So it was a very serious statement she's making.
So clearly not a joke.
No, it was not a joke or other jokes in that domain. This was completely distinct and discreet from any joke. This was not funny.
And the statement was made within 5 days of Mr. Merkel's murder by a hitman?
That's correct.
Jesus.
And was this said in any way in the context of the relocation issue?
Well, what preceded her saying that was a discussion of under what circumstances could she or would she leave Tallahassee? And she stated that the only way to leave Tallahassee was if something happened to Danny. That's what led into the statement I just
prepared. Thank you. That's the proper, Your Honor.
The cross-examination concerned the subject of the felony.
Who's that?
In the cross-examination as to the subject of the proffer.
Sean.
Go ahead.
The statement was chilling and serious, right?
Yes.
Did you go to the police?
I did not.
You were so scared about the statement that you didn't... You alert the police the next day, that night.
I did not.
Why not?
Because it was a past tense statement, and I thought Charlie was a scary guy, but it was about something supposedly he did last summer. No, I did not know there was a present case. A present instant threat. I did not know him and he visited Tallahassee. I didn't have the context.
So the statement comes out, and you say, all right, now go call the police. Hey, Wendy, you want to go out tomorrow?
That's not quite how it went.
No, you didn't try to go on a date with her the next day?
No, we did go on a date the next day, and then she cut off all contact without really talking to me on that date. So I didn't have a lot of time to process it, but it was a shocking enough thing that took a day or two to process. Also, I had repeated that statement to a friend of mine before the murder, and I didn't get a reaction from her. Like, this is shocking. I saw feedback from a friend who would verify that I made that statement before the murder, and she said, she didn't say, oh, geez, you should call the police. So it wasn't just me. There was another person that I consulted with because it freaked me out, and we decided I decided after talking to her, it was past tense, so probably not that dangerous, and we were really wrong. Maybe I should have called the police.
So, Charlie Adelson lets you know that he's all... has friends in the criminal element, the Cuban criminal element, right?
Yes.
And you know that there is a heated dispute between this family. You testified to it. Heated dispute?
Yes.
About relocation, about divorce.
Well, it's just no longer about relocation. But yes, there's an ongoing litigation for sure.
Right. And Wendy Adelson tells you that this man, who is part of the criminal element, really looked into hiring a hitman.
She did say that.
And you thought, I'm not going to go to the police on that. That's your testimony, right?
That's the decision I made. It didn't really cross my mind because of the past tense nature of it. And I consulted with a friend, bounced it off of her before the murder. And neither one of us thought, oh, geez, let's call the police. So it's possible that probably is so dangerous that I should have called the police. Yeah, but I cannot.
And so at this point in time, your relationship with Wendy Adelson was really bad, right?
It was hard to tell.
Was it felt that it was really bad?
It was a roller coaster ride constantly because you referred to the next night, the next day, the 14th. On the 14th, I get a warm, inviting call from Wendy Adelson, eager to spend time with me. Maybe trying to distract me, I don't know. But
well, we're going to get to the distracting part.
Yeah.
Because that's what this is all about.
But it wasn't in a great, the relationship was not in a great spot. I'll concede that to you.
So yes. Your testimony is that when this woman is about to break up with you, when she is avoiding you, when you have just been caught going through her phone and her...
How's she avoiding me?
I'm going to ask her, please.
Yes, sir.
You're testimonying that when you are on the outs with her, which the record will show you were during this time period, that she confides in you the most serious, the most important thing in her life. That's your testimony, yes or no?
Yes. She has a history of boarding out things that aren't in her own self-interest.
Judge, I would ask that to be stricken for the record.
It's unresponsive.
This is the first forum flower here in Seattle in the call.
That by law.
Being files or to the top level, the court's ruling remains the same. You're not to inquire further as to the subject matter. We will revisit later if it comes to it. Please bring back down the witness, or at least he's with the jurors.
Let's pause there for a second. So what was going on right there, it's called proffer, where they were discussing whether or not this could be presented in front of the jury. If you remember yesterday when we broke, the jury had left. There was objection of could this conversation be had in front of the jury because it was kind of up in the air. So that's what they were trying to decide of those specific points that were being made, whether or not it could be brought up, if he should have called the police or not. So what if he did call the police? It was a conversation he was having with his girlfriend, and she says that her brother looked at all options, including that. As of that time, he had no knowledge that they actually went through with it. It sounded like it was more of a, you know, he's looking into all these, or he looked into all these other options last summer, because this conversation took place before the murder itself. If he called the police, I don't know what response you're going to get, quite honestly. Some might go, well, they would investigate that. They'd look into that. They'd start digging and they'd find it all. Yeah. Or they'd tell you, thanks for calling. Have a nice day. Based on how busy they are at that moment in time. I don't know that you're going to get a lot out of that. And I think we've seen it in different cases where they've been alerted about different things. You're going to get different response from different departments. What do you think?
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.